And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Natalie. And today on the show, the London Gay Symphony Orchestra.
Luckily not all of them, but Nancy will be here live in the studio.
And the Encounters Film Festival.
Alice is in, who's the film festival's director, so we'll be talking to her today as well.
To show yet again, another packed show. And it's packed. How are we going to do it?
I don't know. Anyway, we'll come and stay on Shout Out. Hello, one and all.
Good evening. Hello. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yes. Traffic is a bit awful in Bristol today.
Very bad. I think that's because a few roads are shut, aren't they? Roadworks and bridgeworks and
yeah. Holes and...
Holes?
Holes in the road.
The digging of and the filling of.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, they're still doing this metro thing, aren't they?
Have you seen the latest on the Bristol Metro bus?
They might have to use
they
public money.
They haven't got an operator yet.
No.
No one's bidding for it because they don't reckon they're going to make any money. So there's no buses for the route and no bus company to run the bus. Even if we had a fleet.
And they still got to paint that bridge on the M32.
Nice. Oh,
it's a rusty girder.
It is a rusty girder. And that's that's for people.
Sounds like a drag act.
Sorry.
I'm having copyright on that name.
Steph's alter ego, Rusty Girders.
Yeah, well, I'm old enough to have some rust.
Are you old enough to have a good load of
or some wood rot, whatever?
Oh, how funny. So, yeah, no, do we think summer's gone now as well?
No, it's coming back the weekend.
Oh, is it? Is it going to be a nice weekend?
It's going to be nice. Holiday. It's going to be lush tomorrow. So if you listen to the podcast tomorrow, you're going to be listening to it in sunny weather. The moment, it's a bit overcast across the southwest. Tomorrow's going to be dirt lush. Saturday, a bit showery. Sunday and Monday aren't going to be too bad at all. Temperatures in the mid-20s.
Anyone would think you'd done a weather report before.
She's been practicing.
I'm getting ready for tomorrow's drive time show.
Yeah. You see, if you're listening on another station, most of the people that do Shout Out multitask and do a lot of other things, don't we?
Yes, we do. Well, we're mustering a penny or two.
Yeah. So anyway, what's the weather going to be like in Glastonbury and Frome?
The weather for the whole southwest is going to be quite drizzly on Saturday because the front goes right across the bottom of the country. So right from west going towards the east. So Somerset is going to be damp tomorrow, as well as South Gloucestershire and Bristol.
There we are. The weather from the Steph Met Office.
Yes. Yes. Is that okay?
Would you like me to let you into a little... In fact, shall I save it for the end of the show?
Do you want traffic?
I've got a little bit of... No, there's no point doing traffic.
It's busy.
It's a bank holiday. Everything's going to be busy.
So I have a little bit of a surprise for you, but I'll save it for the end of the show.
For who?
For listeners. You already know, but...
Okay.
But yeah,
I shuddered then. I thought you were going to play back last week's singing.
I will actually point out, if you missed last week's show, Ivan went backstage with Chitty Bang Bang over in Cardiff. And the lot here in the studio, who was it? It was you and Mitch, wasn't it?
It was Mitch and Lucy did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang really well. Yeah. I started off with I Feel Pretty, which I do the vacuuming around the house to.
Which is not in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
It's not. No, but it did go on to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Well, they were retweeting the fact that we were singing it in the studio.
They did,
which was
absolutely
hilarious.
But I was surprised that Lucy actually knew so many of the words. I think her and Mitch did really well, actually.
Well, there you go. Live radio.
Her image?
No, Mitch.
Oh.
Lucy and Mitch.
Oh, her and Mitch. I thought you said her image.
Yeah, I hummed along a bit.
They made a good double act.
Anyway, talking of events... Uh, So it's Owl Shout, which is where we pick an event or two and tell you all about it. What have we got this week?
We Steph? Have or two.
No, we have two. Do we?
No. We got or two plus.
Oh.
Yes.
That's just because you're just rubbish at picking, aren't you?
Well, there was a lot of good events and it's bank holiday weekend, but there's some clashing going on.
Oh.
A bit like your top and your shoes.
What's wrong with my top?
Clashing. Just saying.
What, blue and white?
Oh, it's just, well, I'm just saying that it's just we're not on telly.
Oh, get on with it, Rusty Gerber. Come on.
I might take that name. Glitzy Girls is on the 26th, which is tomorrow evening. It's only £2 to get in and all proceeds go to Bristol Pride for next year, that is. Also clashing with that,
I'm surprised it's not going to Trans Pride, to be honest.
Well, it says it's going to Bristol Pride, so yeah, there's not, actually I haven't seen any events going on for Trans Pride because that's imminent, isn't it?
We did one the other week. They had a fundraiser.
I haven't got any tonight, though, saying no fundraising. Oh. The Gin Palace, it's got Wilma Fingerdoo. That's also tomorrow. Please, no comments. That's
along with Rusty
from,
Girder, yeah.
Yeah. That's. Shall I come round and give you a slap? And I'll make it so loud the listeners can actually hear. That's, I slapped you
names?
Last week as well, didn't I? Have you still got the mark?
Yes, shush now. Go on, carry on.
Mardi Gras Cabaret sees Wilma Fingerdoo joining you. Yes, the bee is back. Don't forget, they're open until 4 a.m. Whoa, you can go straight out of there and straight for breakfast somewhere.
What, 4 a.m?
Yeah, but by the time you've walked, somewhere it'll be open at 5. There's places that open for breakfast.
At 5 a.m?
For the clubbers.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Just get the kebab stall, isn't it?
Exactly.
Or just going right for Cabaret Circus to open.
Yeah.
You're drunk when you want a kebab for breakfast.
Shush.
Sorry.
I'm not going to get it in otherwise, am I?
No, you got 2 minutes. Go on, hurry up.
We've got debut act Francine Nadal, and she's at Cameo. Sorry, no, she's not. She's at the Gin Palace. Cameo was Mismatch, which is the 26th. Sorry, the clash is Glitzy Girls and Bar Cameo, who got Mismatch. Now, Bar Cameo is a sister club of the Queen Shilling. It's at 14 to 16 Wallace Coat Road in Weston. Or Bristol on Beach.
Bristol on Beach.
Yes, or Bristol on Sea, or Bristol on Channel, or Estuary, whichever. So that actually clashes with Glitzy Girls.
Yeah, but as a bank holiday, you could go down Weston and go.
Yes, you could. Yes. So the Mardi Gras, which I've already mentioned, also the Gin Palace on the 27th, Francine Nadal, that's her opening. And she's on from 10 until 4 a.m. Free entry for that one. Get down. And Bristol's Got Talent is going to Weston-super-Mare.
I didn't know we had a Bristol.
Should it be Weston's Got Talent then?
It will be Weston's Got Talent or North Somerset. They might invite some South Somersetters and some from Bristol County. That's at Bar Cameo. That's on the 4th of September and happens at 5 p.m. So Bar Cameo, as I've said before, is at 14 to 16 Wallace Coat Road. If you want the postcode, get a pen, BS32 1UG. BS23 1UG.
I presume it's on our website.
Go Weston. All these are on the website. Funny you should say that. Shoutoutradio.lgbt. Yeah.
Do you know what else happened last night?
No.
It was the launch of a new bar in Bristol.
Ooh.
Yeah, in Old Market.
Called?
Rainbows.
Ah, that was the opening, yes. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it. I said I'd gone down there with a microphone, but
Was Zippy there?
Who?
Zippy.
No. No, Joe was, who owns the palace, the Gin Palace, sorry, it's now called, isn't it?
There was something wrong with Zippy, wasn't there? I was a bit worried about that character. Yeah. Well, somebody with the zip across their mouth and spoke a bit odd.
Oh, just see the original Bungle Bear. That would scare the life out of any child.
Yeah, I was always worried what went on with the teddy bear and Zippy.
Anyway,
yeah. No, so Rainbows launched last night, formerly called Proud Bar. It's had a few guys, but it's had a big refit inside. So well worth checking out if you're out this weekend. Go along, say hello, and support Joe and the like. It's a brand new venue, which is cool. It's a lovely seat. You didn't close down, which is, of course, unfortunately, it's happened to the Retreat.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. Thank you for assisting me on Outshout, Andy.
That's all right. So can you get a zippy?
Yeah. No? Steph, I think Andy's trying to say you need a lot of help.
Yes, I do. Yes.
There you go. That was Rusty Girders.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, yeah. You've gone all sort of stylish and country.
I thought, well, yeah, it was Carpenters. So yeah. I heard it on an advert and I really liked it, so I thought I'd put it in the show. That's, you know. No, we're not really about the music anyway, are we? We're more about talking. We get really nice, interesting people. Like, we've got Nancy in at the moment. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So, now Nancy's coming to talk to us. You're going to have to be a little bit careful what you can and can't talk about with this, aren't you?
But, a little bit,
but you come in. Well, you tell them. It's a TV show, isn't it, that's coming up?
That's right. So, there's a TV show starting on BBC Four next week. It's called All Together Now.
All Together?
All Together Now.
Oh, right.
It's about amateur orchestra music. So there's five orchestras taking part in a competition. It's a knockout competition. And the winner gets to play in Hyde Park during Proms in the Park. Last night at the Proms, very exciting. And an orchestra that I play with is one of the five. That's the London Gay Symphony Orchestra. And though I'm based in Bristol, I do head down the M4 with my double bass.
Good and, Lord. And
indeed. In the car. I don't ride it or anything. Oh. But, you know, it's a lifestyle choice. And, yeah, so I go down and play with the orchestra as often as I can. I've been involved for about 10 years. I joined when I lived in London for a couple of years, but the orchestra itself has been going for 20 years. It's quite well established.
Neat. Is that because, is there no like gay orchestras here in Bristol or surrounding area that you're aware of? It sounds like we need one, isn't it? Well,
yeah. Do you know what? We should have one. There's loads of amazing amateur music going on in Bristol.
Mm. Well, we're quite a hub for it, aren't we? It's got quite a reputation here in Bristol. So, and of course, we've got the singing group. We've got Sing Out.
Sing Out Bristol. They are fabulous. They are. So I'm not a singer, but I'm an enthusiastic audience member with Sing Out. And I went to their film music concert, their last big concert. And it was absolutely stunning. Their performance of Bread and Roses reduced me to absolute floods of tears. Yeah. It was incredible.
It is amazing, especially when they get in one of those acoustic venues, which is very similar, of course, with an orchestra. And we've got places like the Victoria Rooms here in Bristol, which is renowned for orchestral stuff going on in it.
Yeah, so I play really regularly in Bristol. As a double bass player, I'm quite in demand, not because I'm good, but because there aren't that many of us prepared to haul the thing around. I take it with me when I go to buy a car. Just to make sure it fits.
That's a very good idea, though.
It's true. Rubbing the lamp by a van.
So, do you know the history of how the one in London came about then, the London Gay Symphony?
Yeah, so it started in 1996.
Yeah.
Really, as at the time, a safe space for LGBT musicians to come together and to do what they're passionate about, and that's play classical music. As a large symphony orchestra, 20 years doesn't, you know, in some ways it doesn't sound that like that long ago, but actually that long ago it was a very different time for LGBT people in the UK. And I think back to that time when I was a tender 15 years old playing in my local youth orchestra. And you know, the thought of even coming out to my own peers at that time was pretty daunting. So the LGSO, the London Gay Symphony Orchestra, started as a community group. It's a great kind of alternative as well at the time for people who were looking to kind of connect with other LGBT people, but perhaps didn't particularly want to get involved in the sort of club scene or the kind of activist scene. So it was just, you know, a great celebration of that community.
So are there many members that sort of travelled a long distance to play with them?
Yeah, there's a few like me who come in from elsewhere, but the vast majority of members are people who are based in London. Massive variety of different backgrounds. There's some people who are professional musicians, most aren't. And there's sort of people like me who are kind of enthusiastic amateurs through to people who are kind of music teachers and, you know, have music
That's
very much as
range,
part of their daily life. Yeah.
So what are you allowed to tell us about this competition? It sounds a bit like X Factor, but for orchestras. Is that a wrong analogy?
It's, it's not a terrible analogy, actually, because there's, I think, one of the things that's nice about X Factor is the way that the contestants kind of really get a lot of coaching and training throughout the competition, and that's absolutely what's happened with Altogether Now. So I can tell you that there's a series of challenges.
Oh, so you don't just play anything you want then?
No.
Right.
So there's a series of challenges, and they're around a theme. And the orchestras are coached by a wonderful double bass player. Double bass players are the best.
No bias there at all, of
course. None at all. Called Chichi Nwoku. And
love the name, if nothing else.
Isn't it? Great. Yeah. Fabulous name. And Paul Daniel, single, not Daniels. You'll like it, not a lot, but you'll like it. No, Paul Daniel, who's a fantastic conductor, who's also worked with the orchestras and set the challenges and has been the lead judge in the competition. Beyond that, I can't tell you very much. I'm absolutely sworn to secrecy by the big bad BBC.
Well, we're not going to have to wait long, are we? Because it starts on, I think it's on BBC Four, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It starts on Tuesday next week.
So the first three episodes are on BBC Four, starting on Tuesday at 9 PM. So that's the 30th, and then the final is going to be on BBC Two.
Ooh, and is it all held in big venues and?
Oh, I can't tell you. I can't tell you about the venues.
Are you going to get more viewers than the Great British Bake Off?
Oh, well, if all of the Shout Out Radio listeners tune in, we might
oh, I wish we had that many.
We might start to edge British Bake Off. Yeah.
No. Cool. So are you even tempted to like start one here yourself?
I'm really tempted, really tempted. And there's various people that I've had various conversations with who are also tempted. It's one of those things that it really needs someone to really drive it, who's got real passion and a little bit of energy and time to commit to it. And I wish that was me. I'd love to do it. But if there's anyone out there who's kind of thinking about that being something they want to do, I'd be really happy to kind of support them and to coach them through doing that. But my own sort of time and energy is split very thinly over a lot of other projects at the moment. But I'm definitely there as an advisor if somebody wants to think about kicking that off.
Well, yeah. if you're listening and you fancy it, get in touch with us. Usual way, shoutoutradio.lgbt, or email us studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt, and we'll see if we can put you in touch. That'd be quite cool.
That would be amazing.
So is this the first one of these kind of like quiz type things that the orchestra's been into? Or
yeah. And yeah, so we've done some really exciting things over the years. We've had the odd little pop-up in the media. We had a wonderful concert a few years ago at Cadogan Hall, which is a big venue in London, popular venue, which part of which was broadcast on BBC Radio 3 as part of a kind of amateur music-making slot. We've played in some top venues. We've also been conducted by the wonderful C. Perkins.
Oh, well.
we did a concert in Soho in the pouring rain in a weird inflatable stage with C. Perkins conducting. And she was great. She was really good. She was really friendly and humble and a lot of fun. So that,
is that because
that was
she
great.
Can conduct, or was it part of some kind of a challenge or something?
Well, she was involved in a competition on the BBC called Maestro, which took some celebrities and taught them how to wave a stick in front of an orchestra. I hesitate to say conduct. It was almost conducting, but it was great.
Didn't pop you lot then?
No, I mean it was great, and we did quite a lot of rehearsal with her actually. So she got really confident with kind of which bit of the orchestra she needed to look to, like which person was going to be the principal in their section. She committed a lot of time and a lot of enthusiasm to working with us. It was really moving, actually, really good fun.
Cool. Well, I'm guessing you know who wins on the TV, but I think we're probably going to have to wait and find out.
I'm afraid
so.
Yeah.
So, is it something that you will do again if you think? if you get the chance.
Well, I mean, if we're allowed to. Yeah.
I mean, it can't be the only competition that's going to happen.
I guess not. So there's, I mean, there are some other groups associated with the London Gay Symphony Orchestra. So people might have heard of the London Gay Big Band, who featured quite prominently a couple of years ago on Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, right.
And they're actually they're a spin-off of a spin-off of the London Gay Symphony Orchestra. So back in 2006, I was a founder member of the London Gay Symphonic Winds. And you may think double bass in a no, I play clarinet as well.
Right.
And from that grew this big band, which is just absolutely fabulous. So
have you ever done any things where you like kind of like team up with them? And is like, have you ever done anything like with the Pink Singers as well? And kind of had the whole lot of you.
Yeah, a couple of things. So the concert I mentioned earlier at Cadogan Hall was a performance of Verdi's Requiem, which we did. It was the Pink Singers and the Gay Men's Chorus and various other vocal groups from within London. And actually a couple of years before that, for the 10th anniversary, so 2006, we put on a big kind of Pop Goes the Classics spectacular at Queen Elizabeth Hall.
Wow.
What sort of music was that?
So it was your sort of Beethoven's Ninth, you know, da-da-da-da, Carmina Burana, you know, lots of kind of big orchestra sound, lots of big choir sound. And again, that was with Pink Singers, Gay Men's Chorus, like a whole bunch of people who are just like enthusiastic singers. They might be LGBT people, they might just be people who are kind of involved in the community because they, you know, they've got friends and family who are part of our community. And that would have been, it's probably about 300 or 400 singers and about an 80-piece orchestra.
See, I would love a classical orchestra to play some of the trance music, which to me sounds very orchestral.
Mm.
They have done an Ibiza Proms
right.
That is amazing. If you've not seen it, just type Ibiza Proms into YouTube. And it was Pete Tong hosted. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's all the stuff I remember when I went to Ibiza as a teenager, all the way through to the modern stuff. But it is all 100% played live. And how they even got hold of all the scores, let alone learnt it, managed to perform it, I have no idea. But it was amazing.
It's incredible. And a lot of that music's coming back now. I've been noticing a lot of the kind of 90s euphoria that you know, I didn't go to Ibiza because I was a bit of a geek, but I go there now, but I go for sort of, you know, nice food and quiet beaches in off season.
Quiet, right? I was going to say you won't get that in peak season. Heaving over there.
Off season, I've become very slow in middle age. But I do remember all that music from the 90s, and I agree. I think
it was a lot more orchestral than you ever think about when you're in a club dancing. You don't think about it twice. But it really is. So anyway, listen, it's been lovely talking to you. And it's one of those subjects that we could, as always, talk about forever. But we really must kind of wrap it up a little bit. But just to reiterate that, it's going out next Tuesday on BBC 4 at 9 o'clock, isn't it? It's the first one.
Yeah.
So have a watch. I know we're going to be watching over the next few weeks to find out whether you win or not. So, but if people want to find out more about the orchestra itself, although obviously we're not in London, do they have a website that we can go check out?
They do. So it's lgso.org.uk, and that's got all of the details of our upcoming concerts. So even though it's a bit of a trip away, you can plan to get down and hear us. It would be great to see some Bristolians there.
Cool. Yeah, and don't forget, if you think you can do the organisation of one in Bristol, get in touch.
Yes, yeah. But you never know. It could happen. So
Bristol.
Anyway, listen, best of luck with it, and I hope you won. Don't tell me.
I can't tell you.
Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
From one time of music to another, that's the Kings of Leon. Sets on Fire.
Sounds painful.
Yeah, not recommended. Hello, Terry.
Hello.
Are you a Kings of Leon fan? Is that not?
No.
No.
But I was saying, actually, to Nancy that we need more culture on here. We need more classical music. So it was great to have her on this evening.
Yes.
Talking about proper music. That's proper music, Andy, not this flim flam.
We have had an orchestral show I played nothing but orchestral music.
It's just difficult getting them all in the studio.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Can you imagine that? The BBC can do it. It'd be very difficult here. in our little studio.
Anyway, right, as you're in here, should we get some news headlines?
You're more than welcome, yes. This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 25th of August. As the baby boom generations reach their 60s and 70s, it's worth noting that people over the age of 50 are now the fastest growing group affected by HIV in the United Kingdom. To explore the issues concerning this demographic further, the Terence Higgins Trust in the West Country is holding an open day on Tuesday, the 20th of September, at its offices on West Street in Bristol's gay village of Old Market. The day will run from 12 noon until 3 p.m. and all interested parties are welcome. However, booking is essential. Contact THT on 0117 955 1000 if you would like to reserve a place. Internet trolling continues to be an issue that affects many people. There are trolls on the left and right of the political spectrum, feminist trolls that attack trans people, and it's even alleged that the secret services of Russia and China pay professional internet posters to derail any sensible criticism of their government's policies. Anyway, you'd have thought that LGBT people would think twice before misusing the internet. However, GayStar News reports that a gay storyboard artist for the children's TV show Steven Universe has been hounded off of Twitter this week after being harassed by fans. Lauren Zook posted a drawing of two characters, Lapis and Peridot, on her Tumblr feed. Fans were angry Zook was showing these two characters instead of the more popular pairing of Peridot and Amethyst. The trolls accused Zook of queerbaiting them with a same-sex relationship on the show. This is in despite of Steven Universe having a confirmed lesbian couple and regularly exploring LGBT themes and diversity. It's also known for its strong female characters. The programme, Steven Universe, airs on the Cartoon Network TV station in the UK, which broadcasts on Sky Channel 601 and Virgin 704. An anti-European campaigner who threatened to kill the gay Labour MP for Exeter, Ben Bradshaw, has been given a suspended 17-week sentence and is considered by most court watchers to be extremely lucky to avoid jail. Like many extremists, Geoffrey Farquharson was emboldened by the tide of bigotry about the time of the Orlando massacre and the murder of the centre-left MP Joe Cox. He left homophobic and Islamophobic threats to the Labour Party branch which Mr Bradshaw represents. Mr Bradshaw is in the Christian socialist tradition of the Labour Party and has endured several incidents of this kind during his time in office. He was elected with a considerable majority in the Labour landslide of May 1997, despite an attempt by the anti-gay Conservative Family campaign to discredit him. And Lord Michael Cashman, the Labour peer who sits in the House of Lords, has surprised everyone by announcing he's to make a temporary return to BBC One's flagship soap opera, EastEnders. Cashman played Colin, who was one of the first recurring gay characters on British TV, along with Brookside's Gordon. In 1987, an innocent kiss he shared with his boyfriend Barry sent the tabloid newspapers into a moralistic frenzy. Now, you have to remember that in the late 1980s, attitudes for homosexuality were very different, and what has been dubbed the Blue Rinse Brigade was still very much in charge of the right-wing press. The Sun newspaper was leading a crusade against gay people at the time, and they ran with the headline EastEnders to describe the soap. Well, much has changed for television, for society, and culture in the 27 years since Cashman last appeared as Colin. Mr. Cashman helped co-found the Stonewall charity in 1989 and has been a voice for equality in the Labour Party, in the trade union movement, through the European Union, and now in the House of Lords. The media website Digital Spy says that Colin will return to EastEnders for two episodes this autumn, sharing several scenes with his old nemesis, Dot. Well, we look forward to it. For these news stories and more, you can check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, all on my own, this has been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
And you do a lovely job of it, mate.
You're too kind.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Paloma Faith, Stone Cold Sober. I like that song.
I do like that, and I wish the lyrics applied to me.
Well, I hope they do at the moment, to be honest, live on air. So now, we were talking about competitions, and I still want to know if she wins or not. She knows, doesn't she? I think it's all recorded now, so she knows.
Look, she can't tell you otherwise her and a double bass will end up, you know, disappearing.
Still. Anyway, well, we can watch it on TV and find out. So, but now, talking of TV and competition, well, a film we're on to this time. I'm very pleased to say a warm welcome to Alice. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Now, you've come in to talk to us about the Encounters Film Festival.
Yes, I have indeed.
Before we go on to the competition, tell us a little bit about the festival itself. So.
Okay, so yeah, Encounters Festival will take place at Watershed between the 20th and the 25th of September. Right. We're the UK's leading short film and animation festival. So we screen around 400 films and about 40 events throughout the festival week.
Wow.
We hold the real heart of the festival is the international competition, and filmmakers that screen with us can go on to win Oscars, BAFTAs, and sort of lots of top awards. So we're a big gateway into the industry for those sort of new and emerging filmmakers.
Is it quite a hard industry to get into?
Yeah, it is.
Whenever you hear about a film budget, they're usually talking millions of pounds, and you think, well, how on earth would I start
with that? Well, I mean, that's definitely that's one side of the industry. I mean, there's a whole independent film sector as well, which is, you know, very different to the Hollywood industry to which you refer, but it is tough to get into. Yeah, and that's kind of what we're there for, really. We're there as a platform. We're there to help filmmakers showcase their work on an international stage, and really then to sort of help them develop their career. We're all about new talent.
Yeah, I've seen some now that use crowdfunding to get it.
Yeah,
it's become modern technology.
Now,
isn't it?
That's always confused me is it's a short film festival.
Yes.
So, do you pay full price for each film?
Good question. You get more than one film in a screening. That's what it is, you see.
Oh, right.
So, all of the films we screen, and they have to be 30 minutes or under, but the programmes themselves... The film's 30 minutes or under, but the programmes themselves are 90 minutes. So, the animation programmes will have a lot more films in them, obviously, right, because animations are generally shorter. The live actions, you'll get between 4 and 6 in a film programme. So, really, we're taking you on a whole journey. You're getting to see 6 whole films, not just one, and they are curated. And that's the whole thing about Encounters. We curate the films. We cycle through everything so you don't have to.
So how long have you been going?
This is the 22nd year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, so quite some time.
Really well established. Yeah, really, really well established festival, and very well respected sort of in the industry.
So now you come in to talk to us about a certain competition that's going to be running, aren't you? And the reason you're on Shout Out is because you're specifically trying to target the LGBT community. You want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Encounters as a festival has always presented a really diverse selection of work.
Yeah.
You know, we've always been about that. But this year, we really wanted to respond to the growing issue within the industry of underrepresentation of certain groups and sort of the marginalisation of certain groups, and also the barriers that filmmakers can face when trying to develop their career. So we've teamed up with the BFI Diversity Fund, and we have launched a pitching competition. And this is to give 3 filmmakers a real boost to their career. This is for sort of new and emerging filmmakers to come along, pitch their ideas, and then there will be cash prizes and really valuable development opportunities for these filmmakers at the end of the festival. So applications are open at the moment. All of the information's online. We haven't got long left, so the applications online close on the 31st of August.
Oh gosh,
so,
that's
not long
Tuesday,
left.
I think.
Not long.
Around there.
But the good thing is the application process, the whole point of this is removing barriers, I said. Yeah, the whole point is to remove barriers, as I said. So the application process is really easy, and you can get in touch with us if you're stuck, because this is all about making it as easy as possible for people to apply.
And my question is, I mean, say someone's like listening, they're like, oh, I would love to have done that, but I'm like away or something. Is this something that rolls every year someone could go into next year if they miss this year?
This is the first time we've done it this year, but it's definitely something we'd like to continue. The feedback's been great. It's enabled us to access filmmakers and talent that maybe we wouldn't have normally got to. So it's certainly something we'd like to continue. Another important thing about the competition is we're not just addressing lack of diversity behind the camera. This is about what happens on screen as well. So your film idea has to challenge challenge character limitations that can sometimes be found on screen. So it's all about stimulating sort of debate around how we kind of get a really good representation both off camera and on camera as well.
Okay, yeah, because like there's so many programs now where it's super glam, you know, everyone looks so perfect. It's just not real.
Yeah, and also, you know, you can find that filmmakers sometimes fall back to those sort of Hollywood cinematic stereotypes, and we're really trying to encourage the new filmmakers coming through not to do that, to tell real stories, to develop your characters, to make sure that, you know, diverse stories are on the screen and the characters are sort of given, you know, the given the profile they should.
Do you find it slightly higher in the independent films though? I mean, people think through more things like the equality of stuff, and
they do. But we're always surprised, actually, by the submissions we get every year. And you can still often see this use of maybe, you know, characters for certain reasons in the plot. Rather, you know, they become a part of the
there
plot.
There is a token.
Exactly. Kind of. So, you know, it's a limitation. They're limited and they're stereotyped. And we do still see more of that than we'd like. We don't necessarily program it.
So if people want to enter this competition, is other than obviously what you've just talked about, you know, the whole point of pushing the quality, is there any scope on the story that has a boundary, or are you free to do whatever
you're
like?
You're free to do what you want. I mean, the story has to be an idea for a short film that will be 30 minutes or under once it's made. The idea has to tackle this idea of character limitation or negative stereotypes on screen, it has to address that. That's about it, really. You can present the pitch in any way you want. You can send it to us via email. You can send us a piece to camera. You can write a poem. You can be as creative as you want. You can send a full treatment if you've got that developed, but you don't have to.
And it doesn't matter what experience level you've got. It could just be someone who just writes short stories.
What happens for the winner?
Okay, so we've got applications open at the moment. Those shut on the 31st of August. We'll then shortlist down to 6. Sorry, I missed this bit out before. So the application.
Good question then, Matt.
Yeah, well done. So we'll shortlist to 6, and we'll bring 6 filmmakers to the festival then, those 6 shortlist, and they'll get a full experience of the film festival and also some really bespoke activity. So we'll have some mentoring and some bespoke workshops, and then they'll pitch to our international judges on the Saturday morning, all 6 of them, and then the judges will choose 3 winners, and the winners will be announced at the awards ceremony that night.
So you have to be someone who's kind of willing to stand up and talk about your story then, if you have to do a pitch.
You do have to be able to pitch, although the pitch will be a private, it's not going to be open to public. So this is you know,
just you and the judges.
It'll be the judges, us, and potentially a few industry invitees if we think they'll be of benefit for the filmmakers in the room. But this is all about talent development. So we're not going to, you know, throw people to the wolves.
And then from that 6, they pick a winner.
Yeah, they'll pick 3 winners. So top winner will win 1,250 pounds cash towards the cost of their film, plus a trip with the Encounters team to Clermont-Ferrand Film Festival in France, which is Europe's biggest short film festival. So they'll get to go with us. Second prize, £500 cash prize towards the cost of your film. Ooh. And a crowdfunding campaign supported by us. And third prize is a crowdfunding campaign supported by the festival towards the cost of the film.
And afterwards, apart from just getting funding, do they also get sort of help and advice to help them make it?
The project, we can't actually produce the film for them, unfortunately. We'd have liked to, but we didn't get the funding in to be able to actually take it that far. But we will totally be there for them to, I mean, we really want to see at least the winning film made. It's in our interest to do that as well. So we definitely, and we are there always for all of our alumni filmmakers, and we help them whenever we can when they need advice, and we always promote, you know, all of the filmmakers that have been through Encounters.
So it sounds like you need to be someone who actually wants to do a film then, as opposed to just Joe Bloggs who could write a story if you sort of carry it on that far.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's obviously, this is there to remove barriers to the industry, so it would be preferable if this person has a desire to enter into the film industry, or is an aspiring filmmaker or an aspiring storyteller. It's not necessary, but it would be preferable.
I just wonder, I mean, because obviously writing is only one bit of it, and producing and directing and all that are all different things. Is there a community out there that if you're not part of it yet, you could go find the other people who, if your skills are the writing, but you wouldn't have a clue how to pitch, for example, you know, are there places you can go where you can meet potential other amateurs that may want to join as a team as opposed to an individual?
I mean, film festivals are great for that, so it might be a bit too late. It might be a bit too late to do that for this pitching competition, but if you're, you know, if you're wanting to develop a career or think that's what you want to do and you want to meet more like-minded people, you know, if that's what film festivals are for, that's, have a look at our industry program on the Encounters Festival website as well. There's lots of industry events, masterclasses that will help you exactly with this. And you need to network, you need to meet people and collaborate, and film festivals are fantastic places to do that.
Cool. Well, listen, it's been lovely talking to you. It sounds like quite a fun... If I had the time I wanted in Shafto, I might be tempted myself.
I'm going to try and get down to the festival anyway.
The festivals are well worth going to anyway. Yeah. Now, listen, if people... I mean, we'll make sure we put the links up on our website as well. But if anyone is interested in that competition or the film festival, how do they find out about you?
Everything's on the website. So it's encounters-festival.org.uk, and there's a big red banner on the homepage and says get pitching on it, and that will give you all the information about the pitching comp, and then afterwards you can just have a look what's going on.
Brilliant. Cool. Well, listen, I hope it goes well.
Thank
and best of luck to all of you out there if you're thinking of entering, and you have to let us know what kind of stuff comes
we
in
will.
What you narrow it down to
will.
so anyway, listen, stay with us. You're listening to Shoutout. We'll be back in a minute.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
Well, I think that's what you call a just slightly packed show.
Very.
Still, good. I'm looking forward to more short films.
Yeah, lots of musical encounters this week.
What, with the... that last song was another
complete spanner. Or was it orchestral in Kansas?
I don't know, something like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing that on TV as well. That'd be...
I know.
That'd be good, so...
Much better than bacon.
Yeah. I haven't watched the baking yet. Don't tell me what happens. I'll go and watch it on replay, so... anyway, that's it for another massively packed show. Next week, though, we're off to Wetton-super-Mare.
In the meantime, though, check us out online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
So for myself and Natalie, until next week, say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.